shed any light on how Tom injured his hand in practice?
Oh, no, I was playing defense.
Can you say how Tom looked at practice today?
Tom looks excellent every day. One of the best looking people I've ever met.
Did he look like his hand was bothering him at all?
I didn't. When you look at Tom, I mean, the facial, it's hard to look at anything else, so I really only saw his face.
Did he take any snaps today, throw the football, participate in any plays?
I was on defense. I didn't see if the offense did it.
Who was on the other side of the ball when you were playing defense? Did you see who was throwing the ball?
For us on the look squad, Hoyer was playing quarterback too.
You didn't see Tom throwing anything?
I don't even remember. I wasn't paying attention.
Tom has, I'm getting to the end here. Tom, he missed a few practices this season to manage some injuries, but he was always there on Sunday. Do you think that'll be the case this coming Sunday?
I let Tom worry about that. But I think I said it earlier this year. Team always knows Tom's doing a ton of things and make sure he's always prepared and ready to be out there on the field. So he's a guy that I think across the locker room, none of us ever worry about, you know, him being ready to play football.
On another subject, down in Jacksonville, there's the scuttlebutt is that the Patriots have a secret weapon. It's Danny Amendola. The Patriots have a secret weapon?
As in, like Dola?
Yeah, either Danny Amendola or anything. Patriots have any kind of secret weapon.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think all those guys have been out there making plays. So, I mean, the thing when you play here is anybody on the team in any game can step up and be that guy. So, hopefully we got a ton of secret weapons in there.
Just the course of a game, a lot of times there's like 5 or 6 plays that kind of things, the outcome hinges on it. Not necessarily touchdown plays or any such, but things like, you know, like the neutral zone thing with Geno last week, or, you know, the Jags going for it on 4th and 1, you know, early in the game. Just kind of speak to how those plays happen and the importance of being, I guess, prepared for situational football in those situations.
Yeah, especially the 4th down plays, we kind of always treat that as a gotta-have-it moment. Even if it's in the first quarter or, you know, any time in the game, you know, for us that's a, you know, we'll study that a little bit more because, like you said, you don't know how it'll affect the outcome, but usually, you know, a team that goes for it, if they get it, that's a huge play for the offense. But if you get a stop defensively, that's huge momentum swing. The offense comes on. So I think we do look at those plays and, you know, it's not just another play for us. It's a situational play that we know if we take advantage, it can turn for us. So I think the awareness and the time we spend on it a lot of times makes a difference. In games, and you know, like that punt thing, we've seen that over and over. I mean, we've talked about that since training camp. So when they come up, is when we execute them right, they help us out. If we don't, it usually hurts us.
Devin, it seems like over the years, especially since you've been here, there's always something, especially in the playoffs, off the field distraction. This week it's Tom's hand. Why is this team so good at kind of bottling that up and just staying focused and not worrying about being distracted or let them be a distraction?
I think because usually it's just a distraction, I think, for you guys. You know, I think it's like, oh, finally we don't get to write about the running game and 3rd down. We can write about something cool. So it's like, let's talk about Tom's nice hand, or let's talk about whatever it was through the years. You know, a couple weeks ago, was let's talk about an article and ask him if it molded. So for us, we just stick to how do we win a football game? You know, how do we study the film, find out how to execute, you know, offensively, defensively, special teams. And that's what makes us happy at the end of the day. You see in our locker room, we come in there after a game and we win. The excitement, that's the hard work paying off, the preparation that we put in during the week. So we just continue to do that. And, you know, I think our families are usually distracted. They send text messages asking questions, but they can't even bother us.
You're obviously, and you guys aren't going to talk about Tom's whatever situation. Can you just talk about the interest in him, especially at this time of year? Everybody wants to know something.
Yeah, you missed it earlier, Butch, but we talked about, you know, when you're a good-looking guy, good quarterback, I mean, people want to know about you. So I understand, you know, my people want to know about him too. I get text messages and phone calls. When I first got here, did you meet Tom? Are you and Tom friends? So, I mean, I'm happy now. 8 years in, I consider us friends, so I'm kind of a big deal back home.
What kind of similarities are there between Mariota and Derrick Henry last week and Blake Bortles and Leonard Fournette this week?
I think the attention that both teams had on the run game, and not obviously not just the running back. You know, both quarterbacks being able to make plays with their legs, whether that's a called run play for the quarterback or the zone read where they're reading it. And then also when you talk about just a drop back, you know, of, you know, having a big bruising running backs, but also the quarterback that when he drops back turns into a running back that isn't just going to run around you with speed, but, you know, there's times you saw Mariota and Blake Bortles, guys wrap them up and they run through the tackle and get big first down. So there's definitely some similarities, I think, to, you know, how they attack the game. And, you know, you talk about the backs, two big, strong, physical backs that'll run through you. So not exactly the same, but definitely some similarities.
What makes Patrick Chung such a versatile and valuable member of the secondary?
I think, you know, it starts a little bit his athletic ability. You know, obviously good speed, very physical, able to stay up there at the line of scrimmage, play pressure against tight ends, against, you know, wide receivers. And then his knowledge of our defense, you know, understanding when he's in different roles, you know, how he needs to play, what he needs to do, I think allows him to take on a lot for us defensively. And whatever different package it is, he usually is playing a different role in every package we have. So a lot on him. And I think a good thing is we all try to figure it out together, whether it's me, him, or me, him, and Deron, or him and Deron on, you know, whatever those roles are, making sure we all kind of play to our strengths.
How have you seen Trey Flowers step up as a leader this season?
To me, Trey's always the guy that, you know, he's always going to lead by example. I mean, if you guys talk to Trey, you can see he doesn't talk a lot. He's not a man of many words, but he's usually the first guy in here, one of the last guys to leave in the facility, putting in the work. And then I think the thing that I see from him is now when, you know, he feels like it's time to say something and he wants to say something, it usually makes a big impact on the team because guys know his work ethic. They know how much he cares about, you know, playing well individually and the success of the team. So when he speaks, guys tend to listen.
Time for one more.
Thank you.